Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. As always, it is great to be back with all of you. Thank you for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Shlishi, the 18th day of the month of Adar. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, we greatly appreciate it. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Chaim Pupko of Congregation Avot Torah in Englewood, New Jersey, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Pupko slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. These are chapters 23, 121, and 130. And as always, it will be followed by the Mishaberach, Lecholim, and Achenu. We had Rabbi Pupko on back, way back, I believe it was in April. So we will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Pupko to learn more about his wonderful community in Englewood. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Pupko.
Thank you so much. The Torah's messages are eternal, and this means two things. For one, the messages are always relevant, but it means another thing, which is especially important today, and that is the Torah's words can have unique relevance based on the atmosphere in which they are being read. When we read Parshas Kisisa, this week's Torah reading, during a pandemic, there is unique meaning to be found different from other years. That's why the very first words of the Parsha leap off the page when we read them. Moshe is commanded that when taking a census of the people, they should be counted by each person contributing an atonement in order to avoid v'lo yihyeh v'hem negef bifgod osam, that they should avoid being stricken by a plague when they are counted. We cannot read this word negef, plague, this year without pausing and meditating upon it. What can this pasuk teach us in the midst of a pandemic? Rashi on this pasuk relates the well-known idea from our rabbis that counting people elicits the ayin hara, the destructive force of the evil eye. That is why Hashem commands that Moshe, instead of counting the people directly, he should collect exactly one half shekel from each person, no more, no less, and count those individual contributions to obtain a census of the people. While there certainly is a mystical explanation to the concept of ayin hara, a more direct lesson of the ayin hara for counting people is the danger of a census is in reducing people to numbers. Each person is an olam male, an entire world. A person cannot be quantified. The ayin hara represents the danger of losing sight of the inherent sanctity and dignity of each individual person. We reached a grim milestone here in the United States recently. 500,000 people have died from the coronavirus. And that number, 500,000, both conveys the enormity of the tragedy and betrays the individuality of each person who was lost, each person, an entire world, beloved to those who knew him or her. I don't know why Hashem allowed this current plague to transpire, but I do know that the Torah's instructions for how to take a census can help guide us as a community, help us grow as we look to the days ahead and even beyond the pandemic. The Torah says everyone makes a contribution of a machatzis shekel, a half shekel to be counted. Why the contribution of a coin? Why a contribution of something of value? Because that's how we count everyone without ignoring the individual, by counting each person's contribution, each person contributing individually towards the unified goal of bringing Hashem's presence to dwell among us. That ensures that each person's innate dignity will be protected in the context of a census. That's how the Torah guarantees no one will be lost in the numbers. And that's how we will reinforce and further strengthen our communities in the weeks and months ahead. If every individual were to consider what their active contribution to reinvigorating their community could be, what their machatzis ha-shekel, what their half shekel will be, whether it's material support, volunteering, or even just showing up and participating, we can combat the social and spiritual effects of the pandemic on our communities and thrive in ways like never before. In the time of King David, there was a terrible plague that came about because of a census, because they counted the people directly. And the rabbis teach us that it wasn't just the counting that brought the plague. Instead, the plague came about shelo tavu bebinyan beis hamikdash, because they did not seek to build the temple. They did not strive to build a house for God. And this is exactly how we will emerge from this pandemic, by turning our attention to our own mikdash ma'at, our own shuls that are microcosms of the beis hamikdash. Each of you on this call are demonstrating through your participation a keen awareness of how contributing to a communal effort such as this, that's your machatzis ha-shekel for today. That's your contribution. And that's what will sustain us through this time and lay the foundation for the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. Thank you all so much. I continue now with Tehillim Chaf Gimel 23. Mizmor le David Adonai ro'i lo echsar. Binos deshe yarbitzeni, almei minuchos yinahaleni, nafshi yeshovev yancheni b'maglei tzedek l'ma'an shimo, gam ki eilech begeitz almoves, lo iroro ki ato imodi, shiftecha umishantecha, heimo yinachamuni, taroch lefonai shulchan, neged soriroi, Dishanta vashemen roshi kosi rivaya, ach tov vacheset yirdefuni kol yemei chayay, v'shafti beveis Adonai liorech yamim. Tehillim Kuf Chaf Aleph 121. Shir lamalos, esa einai el hehorim me'ayin yavo Ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai, Osei shamayim va'aretz, al yitein lamot raglecha, al yanum shomrecha, hine lo yanum v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael, Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha al yad yiminecha, yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, v'yoreach balayla, Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor es nafshecha. Adonai yishmor seischa uvoecha, me'ata v'yad olam. And Tehillim Kuf Lamed 130. Shir hamalos, mimamakim kirasicha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tihiena oznecha kashuvos, Lekol tachanunoi, im avonos tishmorya, Adonai mi yamod, ki imcha hasilicha leman tivorei, ki visi Adonai kivsa nafshi, velid varo hocholti, nafshi ladonai mishomrim laboker, Shomerim laboker, Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed, v'harvei imofidus, v'hu yifdes Yisrael, mikol avonosav. We continue now with the Mishabera for Holim, the prayer for the sick, during which we will pause to insert any names. Misha Berach Avoseinu, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Moshe Aaron David U'Shlomo, Hu Yivarech V'Yirapeh Es HaCholim. V'kol cholo Yisrael bavur shanachnu mispalim bavuram. V'yizchar zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu yimalei rachamim aleihem l'hachlimam l'rapposam u'lahachzikam l'achayosam v'yishlach lahem heirofu oshimim yashamayim v'chol avireihem u'v'chol gideihem v'soch sh'ar cholo Yisrael refuas ha'nefesh u'refuas ha'guf hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv v'nomar amen. And finally, we conclude with Achenu. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanisunim batzara uvashivya, haomdim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, v'yosiei mitzara lirvacha, umeafeila liora, umishibun ligula, hashta ba'agala vizman kariv, v'imru, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Pupko, as we transition into the next segment of our call, one that did not exist when we had you on way back in the early days of the pandemic, but one that we began, I believe, in late June, which has become very, very popular for our wonderful callers. So first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Thank you, and thank you so much for asking and for having me on. It's really such an honor to be here with this special group. Baruch Hashem, everyone's doing well. Everyone's managing. We're supporting each other within the community, and I can feel a palpable sense, a craving for the incremental steps that will return us to normalcy that are taking place right now, and that we're managing, we're going through as safely and carefully as we can. But again, people just want to be together, and it's so wonderful to see.
Fantastic, and certainly our pleasure to have you back on. We look forward to. Each day gets us a little bit closer to the end here. So to get us started for our listeners who might not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to share with us a brief overview of the shul and the Englewood community in general?
Sure, absolutely. Our shul, Congregation Ahavat Torah, is actually, thank God, a very old shul. It's 125 years old, and it's a community that has grown exponentially in the past several decades under the able leadership of my predecessor, our Rabbi Emeritus, Rabbi Shmuel Golden. Thank God we now have close to 800 families. And I think what's most special about Ahavat Torah and our Englewood community is that the Ahavat Torah is a shul that has been able to maintain a broad array of different groups, different communities within a community under the same roof. Thank God we haven't splintered into different shuls. Instead, we have various different minyanim that provide different experiences for different people and different parts of our demographics. Thank God we're not a young community, we're not an old community. Every age bracket is represented strongly in our community, and so we have the range of people, the range of backgrounds. We consider ourselves to be a welcoming community. One of our greatest points of pride is that we have a thriving Sephardic community within our shul. The Ben Arroyo Sephardic Center is a source of much energy and inspiration in our shul and really integrated in the life of a shul, which is why I keep saying that we have, you know, communities within a community. We're able to keep so many people under one umbrella.
Certainly, and I'm very familiar with your shul, with your community. I've had an opportunity to visit on a number of occasions when we lived back up in New York. We have mishpacha who lives in the neighborhood, but also there are many parallels and similarities to the shul that we are a part of here in Boca Raton at BRS. A number of communities within one community. Next question for you. You've been the rabbinate for a number of years, but what motivated, what drove you to go into the rabbinate? What propelled you, and more specifically, to become a pulpit rabbi, a rabbi of a shul?
I grew up in a rabbinic family. My father's a rabbi. All my uncles, both of my grandfathers were pulpit rabbis. My grandfather, Rabbi Bernard Pupko, was a rabbi in Pittsburgh for over 60 years. And my maternal grandfather, Rabbi Herman Davis, who died very young, unfortunately, was a rabbi for many years in Chicago. And so I grew up in a certain culture, and becoming a rabbi was something that I was just familiar with and felt comfortable in. And given whatever skills and gifts that Hashem has given me, I've found the most meaningful way to share those gifts and skills is with other people, supporting, teaching, inspiring other people. It's just there was no one moment, no one aha moment where I said to myself, oh, I want to be a rabbi. It's something that I've sort of grown up with and felt that, you know, my upbringing has led me to.
Incredible, and certainly all of your Balabat and your community and all you come into contact with, as well as us today, are the recipients of a truly wonderful life choice. And just as you mentioned, some of your family from Pittsburgh and from Chicago. We have a number of callers who are on today. I just did a search on the screen, as you mentioned, both from Pittsburgh and Chicago, who may be familiar with your family and with the Rabbanim and those communities from those years ago. But the last question for you today, Rabbi Pupko, none of us have a crystal ball. It's been a very challenging year, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. The vaccines continue to roll out. We've got everyone will have an opportunity to have gotten theirs. And without, maybe one of the lessons of COVID has been that there is uncertainty and none of us know what's to come tomorrow. So as we begin to emerge and you think about your Tzibor, you think about your community, and perhaps even more broadly the Jewish community, what communal changes do you anticipate as we go forward and hopefully, please God, soon, we hope will one day be a post-COVID-19 world?
Yeah, certainly COVID, as everyone has found, has really, you know, created such a sea change in perspective. And I think a lot of it centers on what I like to refer to as the Shabbos morning experience. That's the few hours that we have the largest number of people in Shul for the longest amount of time. And what I and the leadership of my Shul have been thinking about recently is how to rebuild the Shabbos morning experience using the lessons that we've learned during COVID, lessons about davening, lessons about how people, affiliate with their different social groups, what they're looking for their kids, and what we're hoping to build as we come out of Corona is an experience that's a little bit more tailored to what people find meaningful. You know, we're going to talk about things like, you know, the length and pace of the davening. We're going to talk about how we do our youth groups. We're going to talk about what other learning opportunities we can provide for people when they're in Shul Shabbos morning. Instead of just having a drusha, maybe there are some other learning opportunities that can be added into the schedule when we have people most. That's first, the Shabbos morning experience. And then second, and this is no great chiddush, but I think people will come out of this pandemic, I can feel it, I can sense it, as I said before, with a craving for meaningful communal opportunities just to be together and to find ways to do that are inspiring and uplifting because the desire is going to be there and we just need to harness it.
Certainly so, and we've been having very similar conversations here in Florida, and rabbis and shul leadership throughout the country are certainly having those conversations as well. Rabbi Pupko, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our prayers, our tefillos are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered, l'tova, for good, and may the Rabboni Sholem, the Master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow on Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time as you will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Zali Klayman of Beth Israel Synagogue in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.